Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
We had been discussing chapter 11, the Vishwarupa Darshan. In the 10th chapter, we have seen the divine glories, a description of how to find the divinity in the world which you and I can perceive. And Arjuna, going through all that description, he said, well, that's fine, but I want to see it in a comprehensive manner where I can identify with that self. So obviously Bhagavan gave him this vision of totality. And that vision of totality, he realized that the duality which I feel as the I in the world, actually neither the I exists nor the world exists, but we are just part of that same being who manifests as many. Everything comes out of him and everything goes back into him. It's him all over. So once he realized that, once he describes what he's seeing and comprehends all of that, he comes to the realization that the Supreme Lord is everything, including myself, yourself, himself, all the selves which we see. Once that identification takes place, then we praise that person. We love that person, and that love is a devotion for the divine. We want to express our devotion. His devotion which he expresses is described in these verses which we have seen so far in the last few times. So the first of all, he says that the whole world is rejoicing in praising your glories. And why should they not? Because there is none greater than you. The realizing your being, the Rakshasas runs away in fear. All the negative tendencies that I have runs away from me once I identify with you, the Self. All this ignorance and the evil tendencies I have because of the ignorance runs away from me. And the Siddhas, all the Siddhas in me praises you, all my accomplishment. All that I think is I have achieved, I give credit to you because I know that without you that is not possible. Then he says that, and everyone is bowing down to him, why should they not? Because you are the primal Lord. And then we have gone through and say, all this, you are the Ananta Deves Jagannivasa, you are infinite, you are the Lord of all the Devas, you are the Jagat Niyasa, you are the abode of the universe. Tom Aksaram, you are imperishable. You are beyond the Sat and Asat, which is very interesting concept because we're trying to define this world into real and unreal, manifest and unmanifest. They say you are neither of the two. You are beyond that. It's my understanding right now is I manifest and the Lord is unmanifest. So there is some disconnect between I and the Lord. I will never be able to recognize the Lord as I because I am manifest and is unmanifest. Or he said, this world is real, everything else is unreal. Arjuna says, I realize you are beyond that. You are neither manifest nor unmanifest. You are who you are. My senses and my perceptions creates the perception of manifestation and unmanifest. I can say this, radio waves in this room are unmanifest simply because they are unperceptible through my senses. From a radio receptor, they are pretty much manifest. But right now they are unmanifest and therefore I am completely untouched with them. If somebody tune in the radio here will say, can you please shut it down right now? We are having Gita class here. But we are not disturbed by all these radio waves which are here, because for me they are unmanifest right now. Right now I'm completely unaware of the Lord's presence because I see it as unmanifest. Prabhupada says it is beyond manifest, unmanifest. He's always there. As long as I can open up my heart, I'll feel His presence. So, He said, you are beyond all this that I have thought so far. Verse 38 says, Tum Adi Deva. We have seen the definition of Deva, you know, that which is divine, that which illumines my world is Deva. The deity of my eye illumines the world of my sight, and so on and so forth through all my five senses. But he says, Tum Adi Deva. You are the primal God who makes all the devas possible. Because of you, the deity of sight can make me see. And we know that's my consciousness. As long as I'm conscious, deity of sight can make me see. Deity of my listening can let me hear. But without that, nothing is possible. Say, Tum Adi Deva. You are that primordial, primal God, the primal Deva who make all the Devas possible. Purusa Puranaha. Now in the Vedanta we have seen, there are two concepts, Purusha and Prakriti. The Lord has two aspects from our perspective. One is Prakriti, which is the manifest aspect of the Lord, which we can see. So chapter 10 gave us all the glories in the manifest world, in the Prakriti. And say, there you can see me, in this manifest world. But this manifest world is only possible because of the source behind the manifestation, which is Purusha. When somebody is getting Oscar and say, I dedicate this to my staff of this movie. Without them, because of them I could do this. So we always know that anything which we do has a support from something which is unseen. Purusha Purana, you are that Purana. Purana means the original Purusha, which makes this Prakriti possible, this world of plurality possible. Tvamasya Vishwasya Param Nidhanam. You are the supreme abode of this universe. Supreme abode is, well, all my emotions are in my heart. As long as I am alive in my heart, not this heart, but where the heart where my emotions are is functioning, my emotions have any value or a place to reside. And I'm not there, my emotions are not there also. This world exists because you exist. Therefore, you are the supreme abode of this Vishwa. This world which I perceive and see. Vettasi Vedyam. And you are the knower. I am the supreme abode of my all emotions. And who knows it? Me. Only me. Nobody else can know it. If they are in me, I am the knower. And what is to be known for me? Not your emotions. My emotions, you know. So you don't care about my... Nobody really. You can only know about what you think. Even when I say I know about your emotions, I'm only reacting to my emotions, to what I see. And Arjuna said, you are the knower of this universe. All that manifests as Prakriti, you're the knower. In Vedyam, only thing to be known. Param Dhamma Tvaya and the abode supreme. You are the knower. You are the knowable and you are the supreme abode of all the things and beings, all the worlds which I create out of my mind. I create the physical world because of my perceptions. I create my mental world because of my emotions. I create my intellectual world because of my ideas. All this, you know them as the supreme self. And you are the only one that needs to be known. And you are the supreme abode of all my world. Tvaya tatam viswam. By you, this entire viswa my world is pervaded. But without the Supreme Lord functioning through me as my consciousness, my world is not possible. So my entire world, so is yours and so is her and so is his, is pervaded by that one supreme entity called consciousness, which is aware of everything, and that is to be known. Tvaya tatam viswam. This entire viswam is pervaded by you. Anantarupam. But you have infinite forms. You know, I was reading this pretty much a childish book, Micro, by Michael Crichton, the guy of Jurassic Park, which is about microbiology. And in that, it's the old concept of, you know, shrinking those scientists and putting it into micro world. If you become as small as little worms and then roaming around the world of the worms, and there's a whole new world out there, the creatures and fantastic description, even though I found the book childish, but everything else was so fantastic. You can say that in my world I see this, and there are infinite amount of worlds which I'm not even aware of. The infinite variety, so precisely designed everything, has to be a pretty precise intellect working through all this. You know, anantarupa, infinite forms, and you pervade in all of them. You know. So the next verse he says, Vayuhu Yamaha Agnihi Varunaha Sasankaha Prajapatihi Tvam. So to cover all these things which we have discussed, that you are Anantarupam, he takes all these Vedic deities which are supposed to pervade this entire universe. So Vayu, the air, the deity of the air, Yamaha, deity of death, Agnihi, fire, Varunaha, water, Shashankaha, moon, and Prajapati. Prajanampati iti Prajapati, who is the lord of all the beings, is Prajapati. And the late is known as Ganapati. Gananampati iti Ganapati. Gana means beings. Who is the lord of all the beings is Ganapati. Lord of all the beings is Prajapati. Praja, that which is created. That who is the lord of all the creation is Prajapati. So he says, Vayu, Yama, Agni, Varuna, Shashanka, Chandra. And the Shashanka is called because there is a mark on the moon which looks like a rabbit. Therefore, he is called Shashanka. So you are all of that. All these things are not different than you. All these deities are not other than you. You are all of that, you know. You are also Prajapati. I now recognize in my understanding, in my awareness, that you are all of it. I always created a differentiation between myself and this world. But that's not true. You are everything. Prapita Mahascha, and also, you're the great, great, great grandfather of everything. He's just trying to pour out his understanding in a way that he feels that Bhagwan will understand that I understood. You know, it's like to a teacher, once you understand something, you want to show him in a very different way and say, Subhasis, I learned this raga, let me tell you how. So I show him in 5 different ways I can sing that. So he says, okay, and he like got it, okay, and then let's move on to the next one. So, Namo Namaste Astu Sahastra Kritva. Once we have this real understanding, we become so overwhelmed by the emotion. When we love somebody so dearly and then we see them, in a many different way we want to express our love. We bring him a gift, greetings, we do this, we do that. How can we express our love for someone which is infinite, which is boundless? And Arjuna is in the same situation. He understood and identifies with this self, and he can't thank enough or surrender himself enough. So I say, Namo Namaste Astu Sahastra Kritva. I bow down to him 1,000 ways, you know, 1,000 times I bow down to you. Punascha Bhuyaha Api Namo Namaste. And time and again, I want to bow down to you. Salutations to you. Again and again and again. I bow down to you 1,000 times. And again, if that's not enough, let me tell you, I bow down to you namo namah, because there is nothing beyond you. Namaha purastat atha prushtah tu aste. I bow down to in the front as well as in the back. Because there is no front and back, I might as well cover everything. I can't see your beginning, I can't see your end. Who knows where you are? So I bow down to you in the front, also in the back. Namo astute sarvata eva sarva. And I bow down to him everywhere. No matter where I see you, I want to respect you. Now somebody we respect, we talk to him on the phone, we still respect him. We meet him in person, we still respect him. We write him a letter, we still respect him. So he said, in any way I see you in your prakriti, I bow down to you. I feel you in my heart, I bow down to you. I see you in others, I bow down to you. In any way that I can feel your presence, I offer my salutations to you. I offer my surrendering to you. Why? Because sarvaha, you are everything. Therefore, I bow down to wherever I see you. Therefore, in our concept, as Dan reminds me, namaste, I bow down to anyone I see because you are in them. So, with that, we'll stop here.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina Sarve Santu Niramayaha Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantihi Shantihi Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.